The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It's wonderful to be together in the presence of one another and in the presence of God. Let us pray together. God, we thank you that you are here, inviting us into your presence. And so we come gladly. Grant us willing spirits. Grant us hearts that are open before you. Speak your word, and may it accomplish the good purpose for which you send it forth in us, and then, God, through us in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I wonder how many of you have the kind of experience that I do. When I haven't eaten for a while, I get a little grumpy. Anybody else here? When I'm tired, you know, we've found in our family, maybe you've noticed this, that just before dinner is not typically the best time for us to have conversations about things we think might raise tension. You know, like that's not necessarily the best time to talk about practicing the piano or getting some homework done. That I can just see my wife back there when I'm starting to talk to one of my sons about. Let it go. You know, let's eat. Hey, dinner's just about ready. Let's eat. And then over the meal, we start to talk and we laugh and we have some fun together and we get refreshed, renewed. It doesn't mean that the idea of doing homework is going to be much more exciting after dinner, but somehow we're better able to deal with it, talk about it. And we know that eating well makes a difference. Not just in terms of conversations, but in terms of getting things done. That getting a good night's sleep makes a huge difference in our mood and in our ability to accomplish things. We know that taking care of our bodies is important. You know, sometimes we get this myth that we're just self-sufficient, that we can just run on empty for as long as we want. But sooner or later, our bodies catch up with us. They teach us the truth that that's just a myth. Now, I think about what it's like with medicines, even, that doctors might give us. I know that some of us struggle with the idea of taking a medicine. We think, you know, I shouldn't have to take any pills. And so every time you open up the medicine cabinet, lay out the pills, or take one, you think, I hate having to do this. I shouldn't have to do this. And that maybe we could just turn that around a little and say, thank you, God, for this medicine that gives me energy or gives me health or helps me keep going. Because the reality is that none of us are self-sufficient, that we need certain things to live. We need to breathe air. We need to drink water. We need to eat food. And some of us need to take medicine, at least from time to time. And if that's true for our physical bodies, then we ought to imagine, believe what the scriptures tell us, that this is true for our spiritual being as well. We're not self-sufficient when it comes to physical life, nor are we self-sufficient when it comes to spiritual life. We can't just go on our way and run on empty forever. It doesn't work. We start to run out of steam, direction. We get ourselves into trouble in relationships and in life. That's what happens. Hey, this is pretty universal around the world, that we are not just physical beings, but spiritual beings. Most everybody, even though we differ about how we seek that spiritual health, most everybody around the globe seeks some kind of spiritual life, believes, leans, longs for spiritual health. And the reality is that we need to care for, tend our spiritual health as well. Back in, long before Jesus, in Jerusalem and Judah, Israel, there were people who had physical bodies and also spiritual. They were spiritual beings just like us. But they, like us, began to think that all that was really important was the physical existence, taking care of their needs, getting ahead in the world, not tending their spiritual health. And what happens when we don't tend our spiritual health is that there are consequences, just like for us physically, that the Hebrew people wandered away from God and God's good purpose for their lives. They continued to think of themselves as religious people, as the people of God, but they weren't living as the people of God. They weren't leaning into God. They weren't listening to God. They weren't following God. They just expected the God to come with them wherever they went. And so the consequences were that other nations came in and conquered them. They were carried off as exiles to Babylon. And up there in Babylon, they began to wonder, well, what happened to God? How come God didn't follow through on God's covenant? How come God isn't as powerful as we thought? Some of the Babylonian people will tell them, well, our God's more powerful. But the reality wasn't that God was any less the God he had ever been, but that they were not eating and drinking of the life-giving essence of God, of God's word. There are consequences when we do that. And so there they were, up in exile. And as we talked about last week, it's good for us, it's healthy for us to name where we are, to accept the reality of where we are. You know, if we're grieving, to say, God, here I am in my grief. When we're lonely, here I am. I'm feeling lonely. Here I am in the middle of this great experience, or maybe here I am like the Hebrew people up in Babylon, a place I don't want to be. And wherever we are, we can welcome God to us there. God comes to us in our grief. He comes to us in our joy. He comes to us in our loneliness. He comes to us when we feel like we're way far away from where we should be. God comes to us when we're right where we think we need to be. And we can welcome him there. We can say, blessed is the one who comes to us in the name of the Lord. But as God comes, today's passage tells us that God always comes with a word for us. God came to the Hebrew people there in exile, and he had a word for them. And that word was not just that God comes to us where we are, but that God invites us to come back to him, to allow our spiritual life to be fed and nourished by him. Through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 55, God says to the people and to us, oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And you that have no money, I think I'm off here. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. I'm going to go read it. Why don't I do that? I know once they get going, we'll be flowing here, but ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Do you hear in this passage all the invitations to movement? We talked last week about how God comes to us, but do you hear how God's call to us is to move toward him? Do you hear that? Come. That's what I was getting tripped up in. It just says it over and over again. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk. Incline your ear. Listen to me. Return to me. Call upon me. You see, there's this other movement that we're called to respond to God's love with. It's true in any relationship. If you're just running after somebody to try to get them to love you, it's not going to work for very long. If you're the one doing all the listening in your marriage, it's not going to go well for long. There needs to be a movement toward one another in a relationship. You know, if you and your parents are getting in a tough spot, I'd advise you just take a deep breath and listen for a little bit, and maybe we parents could take a deep breath and listen a little bit, that, you know, maybe moving toward each other instead of just throwing up the walls or moving away from each other. There's this movement that has got to happen in relationships, and this is really true when it comes to our relationship with God. Come to me. Turn to me. Return to me. One of the things that I love to do, it's been formative in my spiritual life, is what's called centering prayer, just to sit quietly with God, to be still, like Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. And what I do is I sit with my hands open in the kind of receptive mode that we talked about last week of inviting, welcoming God, His Spirit, into my life. But I'm also, in those moments, practicing turning my attention, my heart toward God. So that when my mind begins to wander about, not that we have any challenges here at church, but let's pretend for a moment, you know, that there's some issue that I'm thinking about. And I just kind of let that go and bring my attention back to God. Or I'm thinking about my children or my wife or something. Again, not that politics today would cause much anxiety, but I get, you know, a little nervous about the caucuses that are, you know. Okay, God, for these moments, I'm just going to practice returning to you, giving you my attention. I mean, that's really what we do with Sabbath, too, isn't it? The busyness of the week, all 6 days, we're on the run, and we're called in the Ten Commandments to be still. To have this day with God where, in the midst of it all, we return to God. We remember that this world isn't all dependent on our lives, that we're not self-sufficient, that we've got to depend on God, and so we return to God at least one day a week to practice this behavior that we want to extend throughout the week of having our faith in God, our attention dependent upon God. We want to take time here by coming to worship to listen to God's word, or in our daily practice, reading the scriptures. These spiritual disciplines are ways of turning toward God, of practicing that. It's important for us to return to God every day and every week. We practice admitting our dependence, our need for God. And something happens when we do that. When we take time to study the scriptures, to read the scriptures, to listen to God's word. It's the same thing as in our physical bodies. The Spirit of God, the Word of God, the nourishment of God comes into us and fills us beyond what we can articulate. So it's not just us saying, okay, now I understand God's Word and I'm going to do it, but I'm praying that God's Word will come into me and bear fruit through me that I can't do on my own, in my own strength. I share this every year with our confirmation students, and I'm sure I've shared it with you before up here, but it's been formative for me, a time that I was up on a roof, roofing a cabin at a Covenant camp, and had the air gun, you know, connected to an air compressor, and going along up there, laying the roof out there, and kabam, 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 this nail gun just shoots these nails in. It's so powerful and moves so quickly in accomplishing the task. But as I went along, suddenly it began to lose power. Pa-poom, and it's not working anymore. I look at the gun. I think, what's wrong with the gun? But the problem wasn't there. I followed the hose down out of the air gun and down, looked over the side of the roof to the air compressor. And the air compressor is still running. It's just fine. But the hose had come disconnected. Somebody had walked by and bumped it. And it wasn't receiving the power anymore. So I had to climb down. It was a hassle. I had to climb down off of the roof, reconnect that hose, and then climb back up and get back to work. And sure enough, the gun is full of power and it's going strong. You know, in our prayer lives, that's what we're doing. When we take time for the scriptures, that's what we're doing. We're going through what may feel like a hassle at the moment, getting out of bed on Sunday morning and coming to church. But we're reconnecting with the true source, the true power of life every time we do. There's no way around it. We have to sit down and eat our breakfast if we want to get that food. It's just the way it goes. We've got to take time to drink that water or we're going to run out. We've got to take time to connect with God and to pray, to celebrate the sacraments, to worship, to be in fellowship with one another, to practice these spiritual disciplines, most of all, to be in God's Word. You know, Will Creek did a study a number of years ago in which they talked to people about their spiritual disciplines and found so many different things were helpful in their lives in Christ. But the one that was most central, that came up the most for those who were truly growing in their faith and vibrant in their participation in the ministry of God in the world, what they were doing, the single number one thing was spending time in God's Word. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. That we would be drinking of God's Word, of God's food, eating of God's food for us. That we would be reconnecting and renewing God's life flowing into us so that we can go forward, back up on the roof or back out into the world and re-engage in the work that God has given us, the mission of God in this world. This is what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 15, verse 5. You know, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you disconnect from me, if you're not being nourished by me, you can do nothing. But if you do abide in me, such power, such life will flow in and through you that you'll bear fruit beyond what you have yet imagined. This is the promise of God. I love the way that the prophet Isaiah says about God's covenant with David. See, I made him a witness for the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified. You see how this is all God's work? And it was God who took Moses and made this person who couldn't speak all that well, a person who could lead, who could speak to Pharaoh and lead the Hebrew people out of Egypt. It was God who took hold of this young boy, David, and made him to be a witness and a leader and a commander. It was God who took hold of Peter and said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. God is not asking us to do his work for him, apart from him. He's calling us day by day to keep returning to him, turning to him, allowing his life, his word, his spirit to flow into us and strengthen us. And then for us to go back into life, re-engaging in the mission of God, the work of God in this world. Because as we say on a regular basis, God is able by that power at work within us to accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine. And as we do, to God be the glory. In Christ Jesus, in his church, in and through us. So this Lent, this week, this day, even now as we come to this table, may we return to the Lord. May we reconnect and be renewed in the Lord. And may we go forward into the world to re-engage by his power in his loving work in the world. Would you pray with me? God, we do praise you this morning that you work through even our weaknesses. Your power is displayed. To you be the glory, O God. And grant us the wisdom to practice behaviors like coming to this table, like coming to your word, like coming to you in prayer, and coming to you in worship. May we practice, O God, these behaviors that allow your life and your love to flow into us, and then we pray, God, into this needy, troubled, fractured world. We pray in Jesus' name.